and amen. Man, we're going to have our time of communion. We're going to take our time with communion and then kind of get into where I want to go today. And just, man, what an amazing set of worship and thanksgiving. And to close in a reminder of the beauty of heaven. And it's just another reminder that, again, man, this is not our final stop. Please hear me. This truly is just a momentary stop to all eternal life and for eternity. What happens when you've driven to the on a trip, or you know, this is Florida season, people are going to Florida, people are going to North Carolina for vacation, and they're driving, and you do that. You know, you're driving, you hit the, you know, the rest stop, or you're driving, you spend the one night on the way down, and then you know you continue your journey. Like, honestly, church, when you get the true picture of what life is, it's a blink, it's a breath, it's a shadow. The Bible's very clear that life here on earth is but a breath. It's like your quick overnight stop, stay on route to your vacation. It was just here and gone, and then you got on to the reason. Please hear me. You got on to the reason of your destination was the beach and the sun. Our destination is heaven. We're just on a journey, and this is a truly just a momentary stop. And when we get that, it brings this right picture into what it really looks like. Say, I know that I'm going to heaven, not based on anything that I've done, but because Jesus Christ died on a cross for my sins. And as we celebrate communion this morning, this is a great reminder that when the Bible says that we no longer have to worry about the wrath of God, that we have been saved from the wrath of God. The word saved, it means made safe. We have been made safe. We are saved. We have been delivered. We have been rescued from God's wrath for those who are in Christ. See, I want to start just a quick teaching on communion, but it starts with all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Like there's two foundational truths. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of that sin equals death. That's like the foundation to knowing our need for salvation. That's the foundation. You have to lay that foundation, or people won't get it. People think, no, I'm all right, I'm good. No. All have sinned. Every single person that's ever breathed, we all swim in the same pond. No one's better than the next, church. But when you recognize, okay, I'm a sinner, and when I understand that, and please hear me, like, saved or unsaved, it's not difficult to convince somebody that they're not perfect. It's not hard to do that. People know in their hearts that they're not perfect. They know that. So that's not the convincing part. And in the wage, in the debt of that sin, there's one destination, and that's death. And the word death there is thanatos, and it means to be eternally separate from God. So all have sinned, and I know that all have sinned, and the wages of that sin equals separation from God and damnation in a place called hell. But then God loved the world. He said, I'm going to provide a way off of that road. I'm going to provide access to eternal life. But that road is one direction, and that road is only through my son, Jesus. Either you're on that road or you're off that road. Because every single person who's ever breathed is on the same road and leads to eternal damnation. But God, praise the Lord, that God loved us enough to send his own son to detour that road for those who would believe. This is just the foundation of what it really means to be born again, what it really means to be saved. I am saved. Not by anything that I would have to owe or anything that I would put into the package. I love what we sung today in Dead Man. That's a deep song, and if you really get it, it's like, what can I add to this? What is it that I could owe? If I try to add anything, then I'm as good as dead. Matter of fact, if I try to be a good person, listen, I'm a good man, I'm a good husband, I'm a good dad. I work hard, I'm not lazy. Is that good? That's good, but not enough. I walk the old ladies across the street and I'm super kind. Is that good? That's good, but not good enough. I go to church. Is that good? That's good, but not good enough. I pay my tithes. I give to the church. That's good, but not good enough. Man, I'm super generous and kind. Man, I tip 25%. Well, that's good, but that's not good enough. Are you saying that I'm a bad person? No, I'm saying we're all filthy. And nothing. Nothing's good enough, church. Except for one. Except for Jesus. He who is innocent. He who was perfect left heaven, put on flesh, lived in innocence, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus Christ is the only one that was good enough to be the sacrifice for you and I. Our understanding of that, there is this great exchange that took place. He took on my sin and my filth and my wrong, and he clothed me in his righteousness. And in righteousness, that gives me that divine approval of God. God doesn't approve me outside of being covered in the blood of Christ. Because I'm still in my sin. I have been made right, which means God's approval of me. I am right before God. I am right according to what God says is right, and I'm divinely approved as being right because of Jesus. And when we get this, man, communion, there's this depth to our time of communion here this morning. That I am just amazed. I know that I don't deserve this. I know that I can do nothing to earn this. I know I can never even pay you back. How can I ever pay you back? But church, when you get this truth, you understand that it is a free gift, not to be paid back. This takes on a whole new level of what it means to appreciate, what it means to be thankful, what it means to worship, what it means to praise. That's the proper response. It's not a payback. It's a response to be amazed that I have this free gift of salvation and I don't deserve it and I can't earn it. There's nothing I could do. I know what I deserve. I know what I deserve. But God, you love me. You really love me. To a depth that you put your own son on a cross to sacrifice himself for me in my place. That your son experienced your wrath so that I never have to. Church, that's stunning. That's stunning. I just want to read out of Romans. Romans chapter 5 says this. Romans chapter 4, I'll start here. It says this. But for our sakes also, I just want you to hear this. To whom it will be credited, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He, watch this, he who was delivered over because of our transgressions. Jesus was delivered over, sent by God, lived this innocent, perfect life, for that perfect timing to be delivered over, to be the sacrifice for our transgressions or our sins. And he was raised because of our justification. The word justification, it means that there you have been justified. There is this now this innocence that is there. It is that divine pardon that took place. Justification has to do with justice. It has to do with a court system that says you are now pardoned. You are now clean. The charges have been cleared. You are declared innocent. You have been acquitted. That's what this word means. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I love that, church. What happens when you understand that now I have peace before Jesus, the Bible speaks of us, and we're going to read it, being enemies with God. There's a battle and there's hostility between man and God because of sin. But Jesus Christ put himself on the cross, and now we have this peace. There's no longer this struggle. There's no longer this fight. There's no longer God as an enemy. There's no longer this hostile ground, this takeover. No, there's this rest, and there's this tranquility, and there's this peace. Through whom also we have obtained our instruction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult in hope of the glory of God. We boast, we brag, we full of joy and rejoice in the hope, that confident expectation of the glory of God. Not as only this, but also exult in our tribulations, knowing our tribulations brings persecution, brings perseverance, perseverance, proven character, hope, and the hope does not disappoint. Watch this. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's given us. And we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit today. And a part of the function of the Holy Spirit, I love this, is that through the Holy Spirit, we have the ability to discern the pouring out of God's love. And this word, to be poured out, is an amazing word. It means like a flood. It means a fast flow. I do hope that there are moments that we truly are reminded by the Holy Spirit. It's a part of his function within us to be reminded. And in that reminding, there is this flood. Sometimes our heart and our spirit is just overwhelmed and flooded with the love of God. When you know I am walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and in that, man, I know the flooding, man, I know the large flow, the pouring out, that God loves me. And there's times, watch this, have you ever been overwhelmed by his love? Like it is this overflooding of his love, because that is revealed, watch this, and discerned because the Holy Spirit reigns and dwells within us in those moments that we just are struggling, in those moments that we are alone by the Holy Ghost within us. Man, there is an outpouring and there is a flooding. There's a fast release. As if the dam broke, that God loves me. I know that he loves me. That's what this is referencing. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for the righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrated his own love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood. Again, being cleansed, justified, declared innocent, acquitted. That's what this means. Justified by his blood. We shall be saved. We shall be rescued. We shall be delivered. What does all mankind need to be delivered and rescued and safe from? The wrath of God. For we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled. And reconciled means to be enemy to friend. It means to go from a place of being hostile in a relationship to a place of peace. Reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Church, what is it to understand as we take communion today that we take a picture of being reconciled, being justified, and being saved. Unearned, undeserved. And nobody can add a piece to that. If you add to it, you destroy it. Because that becomes religion. If you think you've earned your way, if you think you've worked your way, you think you're good enough, and you might have a great life. Maybe you're an amazing mom and great wife. Maybe you're an amazing dad and a great husband. Like, man, I don't even have a record. I don't even have this. I haven't done that. No. We have been justified. How? By his blood. By his blood. Come on, just bow your heads, please. Jesus Christ said, listen, remember me. Remember what it took. Remember, you didn't have anything to add to the equation. Know this, God loves you. He loves you. And he sent his son to die for you. Do you know that today? Do you really know I need Jesus? My life is great. Things are rolling. But man, there's something in my spirit that I know that I need Jesus. I need to square this thing in, man. I need to get it down. He who has the Son, that's Jesus, has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. It's not complicated, church. It's so simple. If you have Jesus, you have everlasting eternal life in heaven. If you don't have Jesus, you have eternal life in hell. It's just that simple. I want to make sure that there's nobody in this place that would think that they added to the equation. That they needed to do so much more. No, you just need to believe. You need to believe. You need to acknowledge sin. Be amazed at the love of God, that God, you love me and you would send Jesus to die for me on a cross. I'm amazed by that, and I receive it. And if you're in this house this morning, you don't know Christ, I beg you, man, that you would come to know him in a real way in this moment. Maybe you've heard this and you've heard this and you've heard this, but this is the moment. This is the moment. For you to say, God, forgive me. Forgive me. I know I rightfully deserve death because of my sin. And I know that I can't do anything to add to salvation. I got nothing to offer. But I need you. And I admit my sin. Jesus, I acknowledge you as Savior. And in this moment right here, I call on your name. Save me. Jesus, save me. I surrender. I surrender. I believe in you. I trust you. I'm amazed by you. Come on, if you could open up the cups, please. Just get this picture in my head that Jesus has been delivered over. For the payment of our transgression, of our sin, my sin. He died for me. I just pray that you make it personal in this moment. He died for me. He died for me. And in your spirit, just say, he died for me. This is personal. Jesus, I love you. I'm amazed by you, and I thank you for my salvation. I thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your blood that was shed so that I could be safe, so that I could be saved. Jesus, you came on the greatest rescue mission of all time for me. I'm amazed by that. In church, Jesus just simply says, remember me. Don't forget it. Remember me. I On the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Go ahead, please. And in the same way, he took the cup. So this is a new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink this, remember me. Go ahead, please. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we thank you. Church, would you just do something for me, please? If we could just stand to our feet. I really want to honor the Lord in this moment. Would you, if you're comfortable, would you just please just raise both hands to the Lord in a place of just adoration and position yourself a blessing. To know, Jesus, I am saved. And I thank you for salvation, and I thank you for your body, and I thank you for your blood. We owe you everything, and we stand in your presence in this moment with our hands towards you to say we honor you and we bless you today. We acknowledge you as our Savior and our Lord. We thank you together as a church and as a congregation. We just say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, how we love you. We thank you that you loved us first. And we can give you thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Come on, so good. Thank you for that. You may have a seat. Praise the Lord, amen. So good. Ah. Come on, welcome to Believer's Chapel, man. We're pumped you're here. I'm excited for next week, man. Pre-game for next week. Me and Jamie Reiner are hooking up together. He's got a little skit for us. We are going to be talking a couple weeks on eternal life, but just the it's a real exciting doctrine of hell. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be teaching for maybe a couple weeks on hell and just the reality of hell and what that really means. And please hear me. There's a purpose for this, and it's not hell and fire and brimstone and punch each other in the face. Oh, you're going to hell. No. This is a message to the church. This is a message to the believer on hell. And there's two things that I'm gonna do my best in the Spirit of God to accomplish in the next 2 weeks. Next week and the following week is, number one, I want us as a church to understand even a greater response to God. What is my response to God to know that I never have to go to hell? How does that put me on my face and just make me worship him and be amazed by him and to love him and to honor him, to know that there is a very real place of hell and I don't ever have to go there because of the great love of God? And number two, I want it to motivate us to win the lost. We need to be in a season of evangelism. We need to be in a season of winning the lost. The truth will just penetrate and truth will go forward. But us as a church, when you are motivated by the reality of when somebody ends their breath, if they don't know Jesus, then they are on Father Satan's team, and there is a damnation for an eternity in a place called hell that God created for Satan and his demons. He's even created for man, but that's where man is going if they've rejected and denied Jesus. So please hear me. I'm pumped about this. Jamie Reiner is going to have a little skit for us for 2 weeks. It's going to be incredible. Don't miss this. Like, let's use this even for an evangelistic tool. And again, it's not going to be I'm preaching fire and brimstone. Oh, you're going to hell. It's not going to be that at all. It's going to be teaching in the truth of what hell is, the doctrine of hell, and understanding this is real. And sometimes, church, we really don't think about that. We see death all around us. We see war in Ukraine. We see a horrible, evil, evil human being. And please hear your pastor. I am a fan of capital punishment. And I believe a dude walks into Tops and just starts shooting, he should be hung from a helicopter. That's what I believe. And we can back it in the Bible. But the reality is this. I can't even preach this right now. This is all next week. But out of those 10 people, who knew Jesus? Out of the time and season of war, in Ukraine. Do they know Jesus or don't they when they're dying by the hundreds? Like, this is just truth. If all human beings in any part of the world die and they don't know Jesus, then there's no hope for them. Again, this is next week, and it's going to be a great motivator for the church, but it's also going to be a motivate people to come to know Christ in such a real way. I'm just trying to scare people to heaven. No, I'm trying to scare the hell out of people. That's what I'm trying to do, right? Amen. Amen. Lord, bless our time in your word. Speak to us as we look to your spirit and teach on your spirit today, that we would just see the empowerment of your spirit in us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, invite somebody. Take some cards for next week and bring some people in. Come on. Luke 24, we've kind of gone through this. This is Jesus now. He's ascended. And, you know, they're high-fiving Jesus on the way out. We talked about this last week, how amazing this was. You can turn to John 14. We're going to be there in a minute. But if you have Luke 24, 49, could you put this up there? Because this is something we covered, and I said we were going to get to it this week. And this is what Jesus was saying to his disciples. He said, listen, guys, listen, I got to go. As a matter of fact, it's to your advantage that I go, because there's going to be a fulfillment of the promise of the Father that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is going to come. When the Holy Spirit comes, this is what's going to happen. And behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, that you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power. I love that. Until you are clothed with power from on high. To be clothed with power. What does it look like, church, to be clothed with power? This word clothed, it literally means to put yourself in as if you were wearing clothes, right? So when you understand to be clothed with power, this word power, you're going to see it throughout today. This word power, it means something that is mighty, something that has force. It gives us ability. So what is that power? And where does that power come from? What is the source of that power? And what he's speaking of here, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in this city until, and this is Acts 2, he's speaking on a futuristic event in Acts 2, until you are clothed with power from on high. And I want us as believers to understand, man, when I came to a place to confess my sin, when I was transferred out of darkness and put into his marvelous light, when I understood what it was to be saved, when that moment happened of conversion where all things became new, there is this filling of the Holy Spirit. You cannot be saved without the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Third person of the Trinity, who fills us and empowers us to do his work. So I love this. Jesus saying, guys, I'm out. They're filled with sorrow. They're bummed. They're like, what's happening right now? What are we supposed to do without you? He's like, relax. There's a plan. It's better that I go. It is to your advantage. Because I'm leaving, but my Father made a promise. And the Holy Spirit's going to come. And that's the promise of the Father. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to empower you. And church, I love this, and I don't want us to miss this, that you and I are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 calls you and I to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine. Don't get drunk. But I love where it's speaking. It's not totally just an alcohol reference. That's not speaking of the alcohol reference. He's speaking as much as, watch this, as much as you can be intoxicated. Watch it. This is what Ephesians 5 means. So that you can be, as much as you can be intoxicated and filled with alcohol. He says, don't do that. But you need to be filled, which means to be controlled by. As much as you're controlled by alcohol, you need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled, be being kept filled. This constant supply, I love it. The word filled is a deep word in Ephesians 5. And it means that this constant supply of the Holy Spirit, you need to be filled and be controlled by, like alcohol would control you if you're drunk. No, don't raise your hands, but some of us understand that. Don't raise your hand, but we can understand when you are intoxicated by alcohol, you are controlled by that alcohol. And when you are filled and in that constant filling, God, I want to walk in the fullness of your Holy Spirit today. God, I want to walk in the fullness of your Holy Spirit at this interview. God, I want to walk in the fullness of your Holy Spirit in my marriage. What happened if you prayed that every single day if you're married? God, I want to walk in the fullness. God, I want to be filled up again today. If I am lacking from yesterday, God, I want to be filled up today and walk in the control and the power of your Holy Spirit today. Church, there's so much to this. If we would understand that Jesus says, I'm out, but there's another coming, and my Father promised, and you will be clothed with power. Like, this is amazing for us today. And you and I are called, when you get saved, you understand salvation, you understand conversion. You understand the Spirit of God dwells and abides in me, and I need to tap into the Holy Spirit and walk in the power and the authority that he has given me, because I don't want to be controlled by alcohol. I want to be controlled by the Holy Spirit and under his influence and be being kept filled. That's what this is talking about today. And Jesus says, listen, guys, go hang out. Go park yourself. The promise is coming. The promise is coming. Now let's look at this in John 14. I want to take a look at the promise. John 14, verse 16, we're going to read quite a bit today, but that's all right. We're a church who loves the Bible, and we read the Bible. Amen? Are we ready? Are we ready? Here we go. Verse 16 says this, and I will ask the Father, this is Jesus, and he will give you another helper. And I love it that the Holy Spirit here, one of his titles is helper. You'll see that through John 14, 15, and 16. He speaks of Jesus. Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit being a helper. And when you understand this word helper, it means an advocate. Listen, I love that it's speaking, the word helper means comforter. Your version may actually even say comforter, that the Holy Spirit is going to be here to comfort you. This word helper, it means one who comes alongside to help. Isn't that amazing? He said, listen, this is the promise of the Father that he's going to send you a helper. He's going to send you one that is going to come alongside of you to help you, to comfort you. He's going to come alongside of you. I love this. Watch, even Romans 8, 26 says that he intercedes and he prays for us. This is a part of the work of the Holy Spirit, that he prays for us. He intercedes for us. He comes alongside to help us. He is our advocate. He is our comforter. All of this is wrapped up in the word helper here. He will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Again, two teams. You hear this constantly at BC, because we've got to understand there's only two teams and there's only one way, and that's Jesus. Unitarianism is growing like crazy. It's growing like a weed, and that needs to be plucked. There's one way, and it's Jesus. It's a lie from the pit of hell to think there's any other way. Well, all paths lead to God. That is an absolute satanic lie. Do not buy into that. There's two teams. There's two teams. And there's only one way to God's team, and that's directly through the cross, through Jesus Christ. And we cover that all the time because it needs to be hit again and again. If you're going to evangelize, you need to evangelize on the foundations of truth. Watch this. This is what it says. That the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him, doesn't know him, but you know him because he abides with you. Watch this. And will be in you. This is Jesus prophesying. He abides with you and he will be in you. We know that Old Testament, we know that the Spirit of God would come down at times. The Holy Spirit would come down at times and just work alongside, whether it be David. I mean, there's so many different examples. Don't have time to get into them. Where he would come alongside, sit on, so to speak, and work alongside, and then not in that total forever filling. There's a difference from Old Testament to New Testament in the sense of the Holy Spirit coming. The Holy Spirit came in the Old Testament, came alongside him and did an amazing miraculous works. But this is the benefit for you and I, which is so amazing, is when you get this, he now comes and fills us and we walk in the authority of that power. I love this. Watch what he says. Abide with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live, and you will live also, speaking eternity. And that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who, watch this, verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, the speaking of his word now, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. There's so much importance for the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit will guide us in all truth. Well, how do you know truth? It's right here. There's so much to the Word of God. And to have that deep understanding that the Word of God is God's Word, and we have got to walk it out and fulfill His Word. Watch what it says.
Listen, my commandments and you keep them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father and I will love him. Watch this. And I will disclose myself to him. Now, Judas, not Iscariot, says to Jesus, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Watch the difference. He already said it in regards to his word. And then Jesus answered and says to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. If anyone loves me, Judas asked this question. Jesus, I'm going to disclose myself to you. Judas says, well, how are you going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? You know what the separator is, church? It's the word of God. That's the separator. For he who keeps my word. This is how I disclose myself to those who really love me, is those who hear the word and understand the word and live out the word and believe the word and keep the word. The word keep means to guard. You will keep my word and my Father will love him and we will come to him and make our abode with him. But he who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. Verse 26, but the helper, speaking of the Holy Spirit, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send. Remember Luke 24, he says, I'm giving you a promise. This is the promise of the Father that he's coming. He ended he ended his time. Luke 24, he says, guys, I'm out. Right? But the promise is going to happen. Again, he gave them the promise through John 14, 15, and 16. And he says this, again, verse 26, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And I love this verse. And this is one of those verses. It's a coffee mug verse that you just like, okay, man, get Jesus' peace is in me and I'm not going to be troubled. I'm going to take courage. I'm not going to let my heart be troubled. And like, there's a depth to this. It's amazing. But in amazing, it comes where he says, my peace, I leave with you. And this is right after he's saying, I'm out, but the promise is coming. The Holy Spirit's going to come. I love where he attaches peace to being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that word peace, it means a place of rest. It means cool in chaos. It means cool in chaos. There could be chaos all around, but I'm cool on the inside. I'm good. Church, when you understand the real fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, chaos on the outside, but cool on the inside. If you haven't noticed, the world's a bit crazy, been crazy. And we need to have this peace on the inside. No matter what you're going through, you got to have this peace on the inside. If you let, watch this, please hear me, man. If you let the chaos from the outside get into your spirit and get into your soul, you're not functioning from the place of the Holy Spirit's power that gives us peace. I need us to understand that we, as believers in Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit in the midst of chaos, we need to be cool on the inside. Cool in the midst of chaos. That means your soul is at rest. You're at peace. You're tranquil. You really trust in God, saying, listen, I'm okay because everything's going to be all right. Please hear me. This is one of those beautiful benefits of walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit is there can be chaos on the outside, but I am walking in his fullness, and a part of that fruit is peace. I'm all right. Everything's going to be okay. I'm cool in the sense of chaos. I hope we understand that, because we live in a season right now that it's just crazy, man. There's chaos everywhere. And I don't want it to creep into your spirit. I don't want it to creep into your soul, because as your soul goes, you go. And if I can say, no, my soul is at rest. Yeah, but it's crazy. But my soul is at rest. Yeah, but it's chaos. I know. But I'm walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I'm good. There's that benefit of the Holy Spirit within me that gives me that great power and that great authority. So I hope we understand that. Peace. Look at this. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Again, right after speaking, I'm the helper, the advocate, the one who comes alongside to help. I love this, right? So come on, let's look at this. Chapter 15, verse 26, continuing with the promise. And when the helper comes, verse 26, and when the helper comes, same word, when the advocate comes, when the one who is coming alongside you to help, when the intercessor comes, like this is what this means. When the comforter comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, and he will testify about me. John 16, verse 5 says this, but now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you ask, where are you going? We covered this briefly last week. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart, but I'm telling you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go, for if I do not go away, the helper, there it is again, three times, the comforter, the helper, who, by the way, is God. Holy Spirit isn't an it, but it is a he, right? The Holy Spirit is a he, not an it. It is a person, a third person of the God Trinity, right? When you understand God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God is going to send his Spirit to us. And in that, we have God. Watch this. I love this. God in us. And in that, there is a power and there is authority that I know that I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit because he is my helper. And this is promised by the Father. And we know that God cannot lie. And Jesus is just hammering this home through John. Got to remember, this is all one continuous conversation, right? John 13, 14, 15, 16, and then he goes into the prayer closet in 17. It's all just one long conversation that he's having with his disciples. And he hits it again, and then he hits it again, and then he hits it again. Listen, guys, I'm telling you, the comforter's coming, I promise you. Hey, disciples, it's going to get crazy, and I know you're bummed that I'm leaving, but it's better that I go because this is going to happen because I'm not going to be able to come and fill you and live in you, but the Spirit will, and in that, you've got to understand that this is to comfort you, that he is going to walk alongside of you. He's going to empower you. This is what we love about this. Watch this. Again, verse 7, chapter 16. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. And he, that's the Spirit, when he comes, will convict the world. Look at some of the workings of the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, will convict. The word convict here, it means to convince. Will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Three huge things. The Holy Spirit will convince the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now, please hear this. I love this because there's a real truth in this when the Bible says that he will convict the world of sin. For God so loved the world. You understand, God loved the world so much that he would send his Holy Spirit to convict the world of sin. And again, when there is this, please hear this, because there's two sides to this. When there's a conviction of sin, you either reject it, you stiff arm it, or you receive it. And when you receive it, right, then there's grace and then there's salvation. But when the world is convicted of sin, convinced of sin, again, Romans 1 is very clear, there will be no one who stands before God and doesn't have an excuse. I didn't know. No, you did. No, I didn't know. No, you did. On two accounts. Number one, creation. The very air that we breathe screams there is a God. Can't deny it. The ball that we walk on screams that there is a God. The stars that we see screams there is a God. Cannot be denied. Bible says you're a fool if you deny that. You're going to stand before the very true holy God and be counted as a fool. And guess whose choice that is? Your choice. And then the other is this, because I love this, that the Spirit of God comes to convince the world of sin. There are those who hear that and respond to it and receive it, ask for forgiveness, know the beautiful work of the cross, and be saved. And in that convincing the world of sin, there will be many who reject that and stiff arm it. So I'm going to do it my way. I love evil and I love sin, and I'm going to live it like this. That's what that's looking like. The consequence of that is damnation. So, man, when you see there is a depth to the what Jesus is speaking here, right before he goes and gets arrested, he says this, and when he comes, he will convince the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin because they do not believe in me. That's the rejection part. concerning righteousness. I love this. Righteousness is that divine approval. I know that I have been approved by God. I am right with God. Because what God says is right, I'm following what God said is right. Righteousness is doing what God said is right. Not the world, not politics, not popular view, not parents' view. What does God say? I'm doing it right. And in that, because of Jesus Christ and his righteousness, he came and clothed us in righteousness. Therefore, I am going to stand before the Lord one day and be divinely approved because I am right with him. And that only happens through the cross. Because I go to the Father, he says this, concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this age, that's speaking of Satan, has been judged. Judgment means a decision has been made. The sentence is done. It's already been stated. Has already been judged. Verse 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. And he will glorify me. And he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. Again, the word, now through the Holy Spirit. How will you disclose yourself to us? By his word. Watch this, through the Holy Spirit. And all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. Come on, turn with me, please, real quick to Acts. So here we see this beautiful working where Jesus says at the end, he says, listen, the promise is coming. Right? The promise is coming. And then we see it fulfilled here in Acts chapter 1. It's fulfilled in Acts chapter 2, but he says, I want to hit this in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says this, Jesus again, he's speaking. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, remotest parts of all the earth. Church, I really want to be a church that gets into a deep season of evangelizing. What does it mean to win people to Christ? What's it mean to be so bold and so strong on his truth that we really need to see people being desperate? People are desperately lost. And they need Jesus. People need Jesus. People need truth. There's a lot of lies. There's a lot of false teaching. There's a lot of YouTube experts and TikTok experts, and they're all just a bunch of liars when they don't lead people through the cross and the cross alone. Where are we? Where's the church? Because Jesus says this, that you will receive power. And the word power, again, it means a force. It's the word dunamis. This is where we get dynamite from. So you can kind of get this explosiveness to this word. It is a force. It is strength. It is might. And it's the ability. And listen, if you've been a part of BC long, you know, man, we are not the weak little thumb-sucking saints here at this church. That's not us, man. We're not the, oh, woe is me, boo-hoo, oh, look what's happening. Bull crap, man. We are filled with the Spirit of God, with a force and with a might and with a power to go out and be witnesses to the remotest parts of the earth. Guess what? That is us. We are not weak, church. We are filled with power, and we are filled with might, and we are filled with strength, and we are filled with the ability to go do his work. We are not cowards. We don't weak back. We don't step back. That's not what we're called to do. When you understand Jesus gave a promise to his disciples, you need to go, and in that you will be filled, and you will receive power that will put you in charge in the place of being in front, that you're not called to step back. Even in tribulation, even in being martyred, there is an ability, and there is a strength, and there is a might, and there is a force, and he abides in you. I love this, church. I love this. Because it should just get us charged and say, okay, why am I feeling weak? Why am I feeling like I need to take a step back? Why am I feeling afraid of what the world says?
Not when you understand a reminder today to the church to say it's time to say, no, I need to understand. I need to walk in that fullness again of the Spirit of God. I need to walk and be filled again by His power and by His might and by His strength, that I know that it is not in my own, but it's in Him. And in that, in the absolute chaos, I can step forward in it and be fearless and be filled with courage and be ready, because I have this dynamite force within me called the Holy Spirit, who is God within me. And there is a mighty force with that. And there is an authority with that. And there is a power with that. And I want that to speak into my soul to say, charge. That's what Jesus is saying. Knowing, guys, it's not going to be easy for you guys. They're going to hate you. Hey, guys, I need you to hear this. They're going to hate you. Matter of fact, they're going to kill you. But I need you to charge. But I'm not sending you out there alone. I'm not sending you out there unequipped. The Father's going to send you the Holy Spirit. And there is power, and there is authority, and there is might, and there is strength, and you will have the ability to charge and not cower back. You will have the ability to stand firm and not be afraid, to be fearless, because there is this dynamite force within you. Church, I hope we get it. I hope we get this. Come on, Acts 2. Here's the promise fulfilled. Verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise. I mean, it's just a crazy, amazing, beautiful scene. A noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves. What does that look like? Like, you try to unpack this. I've read this, for years and years and years, to try to unpack this. She's like, okay, woo, day of Pentecost, this is the promise. We're all gathered. We're doing what Jesus said. Go and sit and just wait. Okay, we're waiting. And then all of a sudden, bang. And by love it, and suddenly. Like, how long were they waiting? They were waiting. They were sitting. Okay, the promise is going to come. Promise is going to come. Promise is going to come. And all of a sudden, bam. Like, suddenly, all of a sudden, there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. They're like, okay, whoo, buckle up. This happening. Like, guys, hold on. Like, this must be what Jesus was telling us about. Go not many days from now. Like, I love where Jesus is like, guys, I'm out, but not many days from now. It's going to happen. What's going to happen? The promise is going to be fulfilled. Well, what's the promise? God's going to send His Spirit. What's that going to look like? Ha! You're going to have to wait. And then all of a sudden, bang, a noise like a violent rushing wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves and rested on each of them. And they were all, watch this, filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the promise that is fulfilled here in the moment. This is the start of the church. Well, Sean, is that only just for them? No. When you come to that place of conversion, you are baptized in the church by the filling of the Holy Spirit. Church, I need you to hear this. Well, Sean, how come I don't feel like I'm just all powerful all the time? How come I don't feel like I'm functioning in that authority? How come I don't feel like, that's a very real question, which every single one of us have to walk through this question. How come I don't feel like I have that oomph? Like, where is that force? This is, again, we already spoke about it. This is where Ephesians 5 comes into place. Be being kept filled. Fill up again. Well, did he go anywhere? Nope.
But it's on us to recognize, okay, I need to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You abide in me, you dwell in me, you remain in me, that authority is there, and it's up to me to understand the very fulfillment of the promise. The Holy Spirit has now come to the church, and it's come to us as individuals. And we're walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And this is this, when the cup gets low, you need to fill it up again. When the cup gets low, we need to fill it up again. When the cup gets low, we need to fill it up again. Constantly walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. When that peace, watch this. When peace begins to get less and our hope begins to become unanchored a little bit, we need to come back to this place. Okay, wait, I'm not functioning in the fulfilling of the Holy Spirit in my life. I need to walk full of Him. And in that, there is fruit that is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control. Church, what happens when you take Ephesians 5 and say it's time again to fill the cup? It's time again to be being kept filled. I've kind of been wrecked in my soul and I just haven't felt peace. Man, nothing's happening for me. I'm trying. And it doesn't seem to be happening. It just seems like chaos is coming on every side and I don't feel that. Then church, please hear me. Man, it's time for you to say, okay, I am done. I need to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And that means that I will have the very peace that Jesus spoke of, that I will have His peace. And I will not let my heart be troubled and I will not be afraid because I'm up in my game to realize that I have that power and I have that force and I have that authority and I need to tap into it. It's on me to tap into that, the Holy Spirit, and being filled with that force. It's up to me to tap into that, and I need to be filled once again. That is Ephesians 5:18. In a world that is chaos all around, or maybe you've been trusting for something and it's just not happening. You've been working for something and it's not happening. But you've allowed a little bit of chaos to creep in your soul. You've allowed a little unrest, the opposite of peace. Peace means rest. You've allowed a little unrest to creep into your spirit. What happens if you heard a word today that just simply was just wait? Don't let anything steal your peace. I grew up in a house that said, Sean, don't let anyone, my dad would say it all the time, I love it. Don't let anyone steal your joy. They will try. Circumstances will try, and if you let them, it's your fault. Thanks, Dad. Love you. Going to the game. My fault. But you get it. The joy of the Holy Spirit is there. Mine. My dad was so good. Sean, don't let anyone steal your joy. Don't let anything steal your joy. If they do, that's on you. But they're going to try. That's the enemy. Don't let anything steal your peace. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Like there's something amazing to that. Be anxious for nothing. Church, there is that power of the Holy Ghost that is within us. That today is a reminder of that as Jesus promised. And it's still the promise of today. And you and I have to function on a different level. Yes, there's moments that we can struggle, but it's in those we rely on Him. Yes, there's many times it's not going to go your way, but we trust in Him and rely on Him that He will get us through it and see us through it. When things just aren't happening the way we want them to happen, maybe He's got a different plan. Maybe you don't know about it. Maybe He actually knows your future and you don't. And in that, you got to be thankful when something, like, okay, high five you, Lord. You're in charge. I get it by the power of your Spirit within me. I'm going to be okay, and I'm going to function from a place of peace. I'm going to function from a place of joy. Church, what happens if there's a shift in your spirit today? Say, God, by your Spirit, you reign in me. And I haven't been acting like it. I haven't been thinking like it. But today, God, you reminded me that I've got your Spirit in me and that is a force to be reckoned with. What happens, Mom? If you begin to pray every day as a mother, God, help me to walk filled with your Spirit today with these kids. Give me discernment. Give me discretion. Help me to see what I need to see. Help me to function from a place of joy.
Now, it's funny, I was reading Psalms this week. Discipline them so you don't have to kill them. I'm like, oh boy. Every parent is like, okay, I know that feeling. Whether you want to admit it or not, you're like, God, they know you. I could take them out and we could be okay. Like, they know you. I'm good. But what happens if you really say, God, I want to walk in the fullness of your spirit with love and joy and peace and patience and patience and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness, faithfulness and self-control. Well, if you're a dad who struggled with being harsh, man, I got to fly here. We're way late, but I don't want to miss this, please, because what if your dad who's struggling with being harsh and you're like, I need a cool spirit. Proverbs talks about that man with a cool spirit. Are you the husband that settles things down to a cool spirit? Are you that husband that speaks negativity and you just blow up the chaos? You make it bigger. Which one are you? Are you the husband that speaks to it negatively, that you blow it up? Are you the husband that says, listen, God's got this. There's a plan. Let that chaos be settled and let there just be a peace in my house. Husbands, that's on you. That's your responsibility to lead. That's your responsibility to be cool in the midst of chaos. Husbands, that's you. If you're harsh, you need to bring that down to be gentle. What happens if you would pray every day? God, I want to walk in the power of your Holy Spirit that is within me. I want to be filled again today. And there is a might and there is a force that I have within me. I will walk with a cool spirit today. I will bring all the chaos down to a place of peace, and there will be peace, and there will be laughter, and there will be joy in my home in the midst of crazy. Husbands, that's on you. I know that's a lot today. A lot. Come on, if we could just stand to our feet, please. I just ask that we're not going to sing a song today. Are you ready to sing? Okay, we are going to sing. I thought that was Dave for a minute. I'm like, Dave is not singing a song today. True story. But Brendan can sing anytime he wants to sing. But Brendan's going to sing, and I want this. I know it's late, but I want you to get this. I don't want to miss it. Church, this is church. This is why we're here. I want you to really be real this morning. And number one, do you know Christ as Lord and Savior? And number two, if you do, you have the fullness of the Holy Spirit in you, but it's time to act like it. And I would encourage you to take Ephesians 5 as Brendan is singing. Say, God, if there has been things that have crept into my spirit and there's not peace and there's not joy, and I have been ruffled by the chaos, I've been ruffled by my own agenda, I've been ruffled by my own plan, and I've been cowering back from the chaos of the world and I don't understand it, so therefore I'm in fear of it. No, I'm asking that today in the midst of this song that you would say, God, fill me again to the fullness of your Holy Spirit within me. Your spirit abides and dwells within me. And I'm asking that I walk out in that fullness of that. And there will be a shift today in my spirit. There'll be a shift today in my spirit to realize I am filled with a power and with a force. I am filled with the ability to do what he's called me to do. And it's time to get that shift today.